Any other questions, comments, concerns?
That's my question would be, like, when the rental fees come in, it goes to a certain place. By taking that, by diverting that money, are we circumventing that part of our budget? Or would it all have come around full circle anyway? Did I say that right?
Yeah, you're saying, I mean, if you're expecting $20,000 of rental income to come in, and we get $20,000 of rental income coming, but we pull four of it to fund petty cash, now we're only getting $16,000, now we're depleting ourselves of the budget.
Yeah.
When do they get it back? You know, when do you pay it back?
Where does petty cash money come from now? Just the general budget?
Well.
No, it's non-state fund, so it's just, like, it's money that comes in, you know. Yeah,
vending machines, life trucks for the pictures, stuff like that.
You make money on school pictures.
I know we do.
But it doesn't, it's constantly coming down.
And I don't think that's money that we budget in our revenue, per se, is it?
Yeah, it would be part of the miscellaneous receipts.
Right.
But we don't know, it's a complete estimate.
Right, we don't know from year to year what's coming in.
It's not a, yeah, it's not a set amount. The income from the pool is more dependable than it is from.
Well, what if we said this, what if we said that if you have a budget of 15 and we get 15 of income that comes in, anything above that can go into fund petty cash?
We have to fund petty cash because we have to have money in there to pay for things that we are not allowed to pay for with state funds.
So if you do it that way, Lance, you don't get your money until the end of the year, and then we're, I mean, which we are right now, like if we do it right now.
Or we just are a little bit less on our budget so that we can hit that number.
Oh, I see.
And then you have money then to fund it. I don't know.
I don't just anticipate us needing to do this very often.
I also think it's
fine. We currently don't have a mechanism for.
Yeah, I think we're not talking about massive amounts of money. And as long as the controls are in place to record it when it comes in, then when it gets moved, I'm comfortable with, we're not talking about, you know, it's not a budget buster. So I feel comfortable moving forward. Okay. Is everyone ready? Are we ready to take a vote?
There's already a motion in a second.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Any abstain? Okay.
Just quickly, a couple more things about our meeting yesterday. We're starting the budgeting process.
Just a question.
Oh, sure.
On that. So suppose a lot of people drank soda and vending machine did great, and we have now $7,000 in that account, and we are not allowed to have more than five, but we just transferred four. Will you take money out and give it back to the rental?
We could.
Or you could put the vending machine money into miscellaneous receipts, too. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that, you know, if we are short, we are taking it in, but if we go over and we're not allowed to have more than 5,000, maybe then you put the chunk back in where you want.
But I'd like to say on the record that I don't want us to be advertising and pushing kids to be drinking soda.
I was amazed to see that we have a vending machine with soda in it.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about we should not have it.
I'm
you know,
you.
So I just saw that today. I was amazed we had one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just saying.
So,
all right.
It's on the agenda later, but it's part of our meeting, or yesterday's meeting minutes. We are in the process of doing the May 1 unit count. We currently have 839 students enrolled for next year, which is 44.49 units without CTE.
Wait, hold on. 800 and how many?
839.
839. Hold, please.
44 units.
Please, want to look at something. 839. Whoa. We are one away from our modification number.
Yeah, we can go 5% above it.
Right. I'm just saying that was the number we said we would hit school year 2021.
Yes.
So what were we last year? What are we this
still
year?
Still got more. Yeah, more coming in.
So, like we said, we can go 5% over that number, so 840.
Well, we said 820 this year, so we can go 5% over that, which is still 40 kids.
Well, I don't think I read the modification several times. I feel like if we go over that number, for this year, even though we said it's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem. If we were under, it would be a problem.
Yes.
But I sort of feel like now maybe we didn't. Well, anyway.
Right.
So we,
we should ask for more.
8, 28, 40.
Okay.
How many units was that?
It's 44.49 without CTE.
44.49.
So last year at this point we had 43.22 without CTE. And then on September 30th that amount increased to 44.74. So it was about 1.5 in CTE units.
Does that include special ed?
It does, but there were some students who were not processing correctly and Tom was going to fix that today. So the number may be different tomorrow, a little higher.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this. I don't even know if you can answer this question, but with the addition of the units, what does that mean for us in terms of, well, hires? What do we get more of? Are we getting more of anything?
We don't get more of anything. We get, you know, we can hire up to 44 teachers using this, as opposed to 43.
So we get one teacher.
But it doesn't give us another secretary, it doesn't give us another custodian, it doesn't give us another administrator, a nurse, one of those things.
Support.
I think we're getting close to getting 8, I think we're close to getting 860, definitely.
Okay.
What is 820 times 5% plus 5%? Can someone do that for me?
820.
It's like 42 kids.
41.
We're still 41.
So we can go up to 861.
Yeah.
But we'll lose some students between now and the beginning. I mean,
we're still at 110 for sixth grade, so there's 5 more to add.
But Tech will take some more of our ninth graders. And they just took 3, didn't they?
Wait a minute. We have 5 sixth graders to add.
Yeah. Well, I've called through the ninth grade wait list. Some of those kids
have
siblings.
They just haven't enrolled yet.
And then there may be some students in grade 6 that are retained. So
because, you know, we only got to number 2 on the wait list, people.
So did we get through the entire ninth grade wait list?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Surprised.
There were quite a few people that said no. Like at our point, because our process is late, people have already made other plans. The best news of the day is that we do not have to do a special preference process for the ninth grade.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So I'm bringing this forward because we're in the process of planning the budget and we're putting a committee together. I've been meeting with individuals to recruit them for the committee. And one of the things I'm going to share with them are these two graphs.
Okay.
One is last year's expenses. And then the anticipated expenses this year. So you see that salaries went up. They represented 47.1% of our budget last year. They're now at 49.6%.
Mm-hmm.
OECs were 13.8. They're now at 15.3. Health insurance is about the same.
Why did our lease?
Because we prepaid. Remember we had money left over last year, so we prepaid. And so the lease went down. But I just want to emphasize to this budget committee that those three sections related to personnel, they don't change.
Right.
If they get bigger, they make the other ones smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see we had 3.9% last year for instructional materials. This year it went down to 3.
Right.
So a lot of it came out of that category.
So we can expect the lease building to be 7.9% next year, right?
Remember next year,
we go to
all three loans will be at principal and interest. So it's going to be larger than that section. I can give you that number next
okay.
month. So we're starting the budget process for next year. I'm hoping to have a preliminary budget in May, if not in June.
So have you had any meetings yet?
No.
Okay, and you're going to have
the
a meeting?
The week we get back.
Uh-huh.
This is
be
good.
The first one.
This is a good thing.
Uh-huh. Thank you. And the committee, those of you that weren't here at roll call, could you announce yourselves?
Shanta Wilkinson, board member.
Heather Crown, board member.
Lance Manlove, board member.
Sorry, that should have happened a long time ago. Crap, no, I forgot what I was going to say. What were we talking about?
Finance.
I know, but just immediately.
Budget committee.
Oh, the committee, I'm sorry. And who, the committee is made up of what individuals? Not specific, but sort of.
I'm looking for representatives from each, like, department.
Uh-huh. Like, English department, history department? Good. Okay, great. Yeah, and they can give some insight into what the needs are within their departments. Good, I like that. I like that bringing people.
And years past, I've asked one person from each department to get together a comprehensive list of prioritized needs. One's being they have to have it, two would be nice if we had extra funds, and three is a true wish list item. And I'm thinking maybe going in a different approach and doing amounts per department.
I think that's a great idea.
It's just getting some consensus on which departments should be funded at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, science. I know,
right.
Has a lot of expendable items,
yeah.
And others do not.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But sometimes it's hard to get an agreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like picking
but you
up.
Don't need to get agreement on that.
No,
right? That's
I'm
not,
like, you
I
don't
mean,
have to.
That's
if that's the direction we want to move in, I'd like the input from the other departments to say, okay, this is how much, you know, each department should get.
But doesn't the agreement come between you, the administrators, and Eric, and the board?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get that, like,
everybody
English
always
department
me,
is probably pissed because science gets more money. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It is a reality.
Yeah.
And then the last thing we talked about
Debbie?
Was...
I was just thinking, like, IB doesn't have a department, but it's a huge expense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would
I think
that...
I've already touched base with Jen about that.
Well, she had that question, too.
Okay.
So, like, how would that work for the people and expenses that are not part of a specific department, I guess is my question.
Well, I've asked her to be part of the committee, I believe.
Right.
So I'm envisioning the committee sort of formulating that plan.
Okay.
I mean, I have got my ideas, but I don't want to put them all out there because if it's a committee, it should be a group that's making the decisions together.
So that would be to divide up this 3% instructional piece of the pie then?
the biggest part's going to come from Franny. She's going to give me basically these numbers. And then that's going to determine the size of the, and then the lease, I have that, it's a fixed amount.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like the utilities are going to go down until mid-year when the solar field is done.
For this year?
Yeah,
yeah.
For next year.
Next year it should start producing at the beginning of the year.
Okay, so it'll be 3 months without it.
Oh yeah, because the school year starts, fiscal year.
Fiscal year starts July 1st.
So this committee is not just staff, it's a whole bunch, it's not just teachers, it's a whole
Correct.
Bunch of
Yes, it's not just teachers.
I would expect some of your instructional expenses are fixed too, aren't they?
Like?
What?
Books?
Like I guess. I mean, I don't really know, but I can't imagine that it's all discretionary money when every year we have some things that are in place that we do every year, I would imagine. I don't know.
When we change textbook series, you know, one year it might be science is getting new textbooks, and the next year it might be another.
Okay, so they are
prices.
Sort of discretionary. Mm-hmm. This year's math, we already know, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then the last thing we talked about in the meeting yesterday was the RFP process that we're currently involved in with lunches. everything went out to the newspapers and to the vendors in early April. We had a meeting last Friday for information on the 12th. We had two attendees, one from Chartwells, which is in North Carolina, and they do on-site food preparation. They're not doing anybody in any schools in Delaware right now, but they really want to get their foot in. So that's why they have interest in us. Food Works was there from Newcastle County. They would do daily delivery or every other day delivery of freshly prepared foods. Revolution Foods had already reached out to us, and they do a similar model where it's the daily or every other day delivery of freshly made food, and our current vendor's probably going to submit. They didn't attend, but they're probably going to submit a proposal. The proposals are due on May 10. with scheduled opening on the 13th, with contract awards notification on the 24th, which will be after the next board meeting, the May board meeting. The Jefferson School is interested in partnering with us, so that if we need to meet the thresholds that some of the fresh foods vendors have, that will help us reach those thresholds. I look back to years past, and when we were having fresh food that was provided by Laurel, we had about 30% participation in our lunch program. We currently have about 7% students. So really trying to find a way to improve and increase the participation rate.
Milt, well, we'll talk about that, but one of the things we need to really do is, well, first of all, we need to get good food, and then we need to market it. You know, we need to do more. We need to do something with the ordering process, because you can't expect these kids to want to order a month at a time.
Right.
So I think there's a couple of things we need to do to make it more friendly. Okay.
Okay. So that was our finance committee.
Great. Wow. Okay. Do I have to approve anything else?
Nope.
Okay, great. All right, no foundation update. Moving on to committee reports. All right, peeps, now is the time for all good men to whatever that saying is. We talked about last month we were going to ask people to commit or not for continuing service. So let's see what we have here. Debbie, you are in your last year of your first term. Seriously?
I just don't have the time. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, no.
Actually, I've stopped apologizing for working 70-hour weeks.
Yeah, that's all good.
So, but I do have a couple people have expressed interest in replacing me on the board, and both of them are excellent. So I'm going to work with the people who are interested to find my replacement.
Okay.
That's good news. Okay. We have to twist somebody's arm if they want to see the choices.
All right. Let's see. Denise, you're coming up on your last year. Next year will be your last year. Shanta, you are in your last year of your first term. This is your third year. Are you interested in coming back?
Yes.
I love that. Yes. Okay. I guess that's it.
Oh.
Well,
all the people that need another year from there.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
their first term.
Steve needs another year.
I need another year.
I'm in my fifth year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're the same.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm
three
just
of
assuming
us.
All you guys are coming back. Right?
Yeah.
Aren't you?
We'll let you know.
Is anyone not coming back besides Debbie? Okay, good. All right. So it looks like we're only going to
How about you, Jen? What are you doing?
We're going to talk about that. we are only going to have one vacancy. Okay, because we need to fill Brian's seat.
Mm-hmm.
We have several applications for that one seat. I am going to recommend.
I probably should do it in an executive session.
Yeah. I will make a recommendation for who I think would be the person.
Do we have applications? Maybe we could hand out next month. Too.
We can. May is really the time that we elect new members, so we don't need to do this yet. But so I'm saying, I'll get you guys information on what
we
need to do.
Maybe we should all take a look at the resume. Yeah. Yeah. If we can circulate the resumes or letters or whatever.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. We'll do that.
Okay.
So, and we'll vote on that at our next board meeting.
Great.
Thank you all for your continued service. All right. Moving on. 30. Well, I Debbie,
she's
so guilty.
No, yeah,
Debbie's been very effective. Thank you,
no.
Debbie.
Listen, I don't think ever in history that one of the faculty reps has stayed more than 3 years. So I in fact, as much
true.
As I've loved having you, I think it's good to keep it rolling. So I'm.
No, and Debbie was really, really helpful to me when we were putting together the IB numbers and a lot of other things. Thank you.
Anything else on committee reports that wasn't discussed in reports?
Do you want me to bring this up and just highlight?
I do. And so that would be under the, well, hey, Eric, are you still here?
I am.
Yeah.
The faint voice.
We do have something under strategic planning, but we're going to do that under old business because we have to vote on the plan. Mm-hmm. School culture committee. Chris, you want to give us a little overview?
So a couple of things. We Alan's touched on a few things with the RFP, and Jen mentioned a couple of things. So just overall, the morning when Milt came, he met with me, Alan, and Eric, and we had a great conversation. We met for an hour and a half or something, and kind of just went through different things and different ideas that we've all discussed between the subcommittee work and the board, and there were some really good conversations, and then Milt stayed the entire day and talked to several different groups. So in that meeting, one of the things that we kind of talked about and we highlighted, and it's in this report, obviously it's 12 pages, and I'm not going to read through all this for you. If you haven't a chance to look at it in the email, please do. But there's really three options. One option is to stay in the school lunch program. The second option is to do more of a hybrid. We can stay in the lunch program. However, we could bring in an outside vendor, maybe one or two days a week. It could be a restaurant or it could be somebody else, and still stay within the school lunch program. Or the third option would be to just do our own in-house. And in the report, just I'll go in reverse. So if we were to do something in-house, Milt thinks that our kitchen could be easily renovated. Well, I shouldn't say renovated, converted by adding some equipment, and it's in the report so you can read it.
Just to give us a number?
The dollar amount?
Yeah.
No, he just said what we could add.
Right.
What we could add to it. So that is something, obviously, next year we're not going to be able to make happen. Even if we want to go to that long term, I mean, obviously that's something we can continue to work on, but this is more of an immediate need for next school year. So the one that, after talking with Alan and Eric, and I haven't talked to Eric since this has come out, he just got this yesterday, was, I think, Eric, again, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but the thought was to do the hybrid model, to stay within the school lunch program. And, you know, obviously we're working with multiple vendors right now, so maybe kind of see what their proposals are. And once we have that, then we can kind of figure out, you know, do we want to bring in somebody else from the outside on a Friday or something that's different? And that kind of just seemed the direction that we all kind of thought. Milt really liked that idea too.
With the understanding, that guys, that with the hybrid program, the restaurants will not have gone through sort of the, I'm using the word certification, but it isn't an official certification. But, you know, for the school, the food, the school lunch program, you have to meet certain guidelines. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to serve food that doesn't necessarily meet those guidelines. Mm-hmm. However, we could not then seek reimbursement from the federal program for that particular meal.
Right.
So we, with the understanding that whoever qualifies for free and reduced lunch on those days, we would have to cover the expense of that some other way.
Right.
Which I think is totally doable. And I like...
If enough buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I met with Milt also, and I really like the hybrid idea. I think it's fun to, like, you know, throw something delicious at them once or twice a week, and you know.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot of potential. And then the other thing is a couple of just key takeaways, and Jen mentioned two of them. Obviously, our participation is extremely low. The national average is 65%, and we're think we're at 17.
Seven.
17, I think, overall, and then, like, for just the lunch, now I'm talking about after school, too. Is that 6.5% or something?
Yeah.
So we have really nobody purchasing lunch. The other thing he mentioned was marketing. Jen touched on that. He said
we really need to improve on that. I mean, but we also want to have something we want to market. I mean,
we don't want to market what we have right now.
So if once we figure all this out, then we're going to need to put some energy into all the marketing. And the other thing that he mentioned that he thought was really easy for us to do was a breakfast service model. Eric mentioned that it was at the other school, like a grab and go. I think they serve like one breakfast in the morning and that's it. So we were talking about having a cart, and maybe there are some bagels and some smoothie cups and fruit. They could pick it up, and even if they wanted tea or a juice, they could take it right into the classroom. Because there's not a lot of time when they get off the bus, they just don't have the time. And everyone really liked that idea. Milt really liked the idea.
Yeah.
He thought it would really help ramp up the students'
interest.
Engagement and interest in the food program.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, I wonder what's going to be for lunch if we have this great cart out here.
We just have to make sure with our teachers that, you know, I mean, my son tells me already there's any number of teachers that let them have food in class because, you know, they're hungry and they eat it, whatever, 10:30
in the morning. There's a difference between a 12th grader eating a bagel and a 6th grader eating a cup of blueberries.
Yeah, and Eric said at the other school, his other school, there was really never any issues. You know, I mean, once in a while, somebody might spill something.
Again,
but
high school kids.
Yeah, I know, but it was just a non-issue.
Yeah.
So, those are some areas that we can definitely work on, and the breakfast is really probably low-hanging fruit for us. But obviously, we need to continue the discussion and see what the RFP brings, and then. You know, if we get a really good price and the food looks really good, then we can figure out how many days a week. And then from there, we need to figure out who we're going to meet with to bring in and have a scheduled meeting. Because right now, we're meeting with individual restaurants and some different things. But, I think I shared with, with Jen.
Yeah.
The thought would be is to whoever we would like to invite, almost like an RFP process, invite everybody here at the restaurants and then say, this is the process. So everybody hears it from one voice, because right now it's a little segmented.
Yeah.
So we need to clean that up. So I guess next steps, if the board is okay with us continuing to move forward, I'll just work with Eric and Alan, because that's operational. If the board likes that hybrid model, we can continue to focus on that, unless Eric and Alan want to go in a different direction at this point.
Can I ask, on the people who are going to be bidding, which of those have we tasted the food?
Just Revolution.
Okay, and was it good?
Yeah, it was a good
thing. Yeah, it's really good today.
Good.
Okay.
Yep.
And are we going to get to taste the others?
I'm planning the week after we get back to go up to one of the two charter schools that Food Works is providing lunches for, and go in, and I've already let them know and ask if I could do this, and just go in and buy lunch.
Okay, because I feel like it should be a requirement that we would taste the food of anyone we're considering.
I would too.
You know.
To what scale though, too? Because I know.
You know they're going to bring their best in, though, right?
Well, they're going to bring their best in. So, but the question is: are we bringing it to the entire school? Or are you pulling out 15 different students? Is it to us? So, and then is there going to be a fee for it? So we have to have those discussions of how we're going to do that.
I feel like I'm going to leave that up to the administration to decide. However, in my opinion, it would be worth spending some money if we have to pay for it. We cannot. If we're trying to increase participation in our program, we need to get better food, bottom line. You don't know if the food is better unless someone actually goes and eats it.
And if we think it's better, that doesn't mean kids are going to think it's better.
Right. So I would say someone like Chartwell, who's trying to break into the market, fine. Get up here and serve us your food.
Yeah, break into the market.
If you want to break into the market, then come up here and serve some food.
Even
I'm not saying
even
you have to do it.
Right, on a small scale. Like you invite 25 students, a couple from each grade.
Like
it doesn't have to be school-wide.
Just have a little luncheon in here.
Yeah. And if they're not willing to do that, then so
kind
sorry, bye-bye.
I don't want to break into the market.
Well, I think we probably need 3 vendors to bid, though.
Well,
one of them is who we're having
right
now.
Why haven't they done this before? They're trying
to
up their game to the point where we got 6.5% of kids.
Well,
I know,
let's not fool ourselves. Upping the game means charging more.
Correct.
You know, so this is the thing. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I know we, you know, we have to think about that. You know, it's going to...
Is that part of the RFP, like, process? Like, everybody's going to bid a lunch that's $2.50? Or is everybody just bringing food in?
I don't know about that piece.
Comparing apples and apples.
Yeah, because we've got to have that,
somebody
gotta have that
like,
set.
Like a $7 lunch versus a $3
lunch.
Everybody's going to pick a $7 lunch.
Right, exactly. I hope.
Well, I think it's also important to see what the quality of food is.
You know,
because the whole idea of, you know, kids eating it is our kids should also have a good quality food. So if one vendor is putting artificial dyes and colors and flavors and the other one is not, and if that is a little bit more expensive, it is good for us to have healthy food for the kids. And if the food is tasting good, then a lot of the kids who want to buy it will buy it, and then that makes it work more better.
That's right.
You know, and then if there are more people buying it, then the food gets cheaper.
The first year,
so
we're going to be taking a risk. You know, we're, if it's more expensive, and we're taking a chance because we just don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, just to address that a little bit, these are vendors that we were required by the state to send RFP packets to. So they're dealing with schools in the National School Lunch Program. So they need to bring in at a price point that's under the reimbursement rate of the federal government,
all of them.
Or around it, yes,
right, all of them.
Yeah, as long as that's a requirement,
so
then
it's
that's,
apples
that's
apples.
Okay,
right.
So it's apples to apples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
as close to apples to apples as we can.
That's
the three that are closest would be
challenge.
The three that prepare fresh food: Chartwell's, Food Works, and Revolution.
And so, Food Works, you're going up to see.
I'm
going to
go to one of their two charter schools. They were not on the approved list, or they were not on the list. I don't know if it's a new company, but they were not on the list in years past. The only one that was operating in Delaware was Preferred Meals, and they're the ones who submitted the bids for those two times.
The company from North Carolina that wants to come and cook in our kitchen, are they gonna bring all the equipment here to cook? Because our kitchen is not equipped to cook right now. So are they going
to... That would require us to do some upgrading to the kitchen.
And cost us money to do that, right?
Okay.
But I wonder how much money.
Well, he listed some of the equipment. That
maybe they can provide us that information.
Yeah.
And say, hey,
it's
listed for you, and it's going to cost $46,000 to buy this stuff and put it in here so I can cook the food.
Because we had some discussions, and some of the kitchens will put them, you know, give us the equipment, but put the cost in the food, you know, so that is also... important. I think we should ask both the other vendors to also bring some food and have a small test kitchen with 20-25 kids at least to let them have a feel.
Yeah, why don't we see if Food Works will do that?
Okay. Well, he asked me if he could, if they were the successful bidder, could they do that so that they could start marketing their food.
Yeah, how about in order to be a successful bidder, you need to come in here and market your food.
That's how you win.
You need to spend a little bit of money.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to have like three sections of food and just have the kids come in, don't even say, just
correct.
Like go ahead.
Just put it
on
and just say, just go in and go
like
eat whatever you want, and everybody goes to that one and nothing over there, then you'd have, like...
Well, they're all going to bring their best.
Right.
So,
but that'd be good just to see how that would actually
agreed.
Turn out.
We're on the test.
All right. Good, thank you.
Top
That's good work.
You're welcome.
Let's move on. Anything else for school culture?
Well, actually, I had one question about this.
Heather.
So do they have a minimum that, did you say that you have to spend or a number of kids for these?
The ones with the fresh food will have a threshold.
Okay, I'm just wondering if this school for some reason stays at 7%, are we then on the hook monthly?
Well, this is where Jefferson School comes in. And can I say out loud, I love the idea of collaborating with Jefferson School.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I love it, I love it, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that it's just great.
Yeah.
I love to be the school that's known for collaborating and helping other schools. I love that about us. So.
I think if they bring decent food, the kids are gonna go nuts over it because it's been so bad.
Yeah.
And
correct.
Just to not have to deal with that in the morning and you know that you're gonna get something decent as opposed to what's
but even still
there.
If we can help Jefferson, even if our food is wildly successful, I still think we should help them if we can. So I don't know.
Harvard Christian did.
They weren't interested.
Yeah.
They have very little participation anyway. She said only like 7 to 10 kids buy lunch
And they don't have to, they're private, so they don't have to do that.
Right, and they have arrangements with Patty's. She does a special menu one day a week, and somebody else does a special menu another day a week.
I'm gonna start coming over
Patty in here
on Fridays.
I think that school lunch participation rate is probably too low, because I work with a lot of juniors, and I offer them fee waivers if they qualify for lunch benefits. And they don't even try to qualify, because they don't even want the lunch.
Right.
So I think those numbers are seriously going to go up significantly.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
when
I show them, I think they're going to shoot up.
Well, and I think it's going to be a better reflection, like, of our school population when we get accurate numbers of them as well.
Right.
And then we're going to maybe be able to qualify for other programs that might be
make
able
a
to
difference.
Help us with
yeah.
that. Like the we get money from the state for our dual enrollment programs for students who, I think, isn't that one of the
Well, they use census data to determine that. It's not based on number of kids who qualify for free or reduced. They use census data.
But it's one of the things colleges want to know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, also, you got new sixth graders coming in that haven't been exposed
right.
to
yeah, right. yeah.
tainted.
Yeah, tainted. So they come in and they're like, oh, this is great. They just
right.
Well, that, some of them are hurt.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And we don't need to vote, right?
No.
Just
no,
to move forward, we can
yeah.
continue
Absolutely.
Working with
yep.
Eric and Alan. And,
yep.
Okay.
Nice work. Okay, let's move on. Ad hoc policy board policy committee. First of all, I want to acknowledge my team members for jumping to action this week on very short notice to get this information out to you guys. Susie in particular has been working her tail off to the point where she has a brace on her arm as a result. So I just want to thank you guys for really, you know, jumping to it. It was,
thank you for pushing us to get
it
done. It
was very, very good.
Okay. So the Ad Hoc Policy Committee came together to look at the section of our policy manual, the 200 section, which is governs board, how the board operates. And in our first meeting, we realized that, well, for those of you that don't live in my legal world, when you create a corporation in the state of Delaware, you put a certificate of incorporation on file with the state of Delaware so that the state knows we are here. And then you create bylaws, and bylaws are the governance of the organization. And it came to our attention pretty quickly that we had never seen the bylaws, and we weren't using the bylaws. So Alan dug those out for us, and a lot of what is in our bylaws is addressed in our board policy manual, but there are places that the two conflict. So what we are giving you is redline bylaws and redline three sections of the policy manual. We're not going to vote on it today so that you can, you know, take it home and read it on Easter. It is my opinion that we should start using our bylaws, that we should put them on our website and use them to run our meetings. And that the board policies should only address what isn't addressed in the bylaws. Because if we try and restate it, we're gonna make mistakes. It's not gonna be the same. And I'll give you an example. The bylaws say that decisions can be made by a quorum of the board, and it defines a quorum to be a majority of our board members. So we can have a meeting and conduct business if we have a majority of board members present. And to pass anything, or most things, we just need a majority of the quorum. Our policy manual says that in order to amend policy, we need the vote of 2/3 of a quorum. Who knew? I don't think we've ever really paid attention. I mean, it's usually unanimous, so we probably have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even sure that we have the authority to amend the bylaw or to make that decision in the policies. It should be in the bylaws. The policy manual also says that in order to elect the president, we need a majority of all of our board members to vote. Who knew? I mean, so it would be my recommendation to keep it as simple as possible. What we've been doing has been working. the bylaws are written that a majority of a quorum is enough to do everything except for a really big deal transaction, like dissolve the company or fire a board member. Like, a majority of a quorum is enough. It is my tendency to stick with that. And then if we run into a situation where it's not enough, we deal with it. That's my opinion. Another place where we conflict is our policy manual says we can have 9 to 13 board members, but the bylaws only say 9 to 11.
And FYI, for the past 6 years, we've had 13.
So we are, the red line of the policies is taking out the number of board members, and then we are suggesting an amendment to the bylaws that makes it 9 to 13.
And we're not voting tonight, right?
No.
Yeah, we have this packet for you guys. We want you guys to thoroughly review this, and we're going to vote on it at the May meeting. However,
I just wanted to let you know that most of the red lines that you see in the policy part is taking stuff out that's already in the bylaws. Because why try and state it twice and make them inconsistent? Another big deal thing that came up is if you look at section... Yeah?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is there a way that we can kind of skip the agenda? We move forward to go to strategic plan. I'm afraid my phone will die.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I really want to be able to, you know...
Okay, go ahead.
...the strategic plan and then answer any questions. That way, if my phone goes out while everybody's talking... it's okay. I would hate for it to get out, and then I don't know how, you know, long it would take me to get to the hotel and everything. If not, I'm actually like outside somewhere.
That's right. Fine. However, we need to come back to this discussion tonight. So
absolutely. Okay. But I just would like for us to get to the part where I need to participate verbally. So if I die, we don't have to put this question next morning.
Got it.
Fine.
Sorry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
Floor's yours, Eric.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes.
Yep. Be a little louder if you can.
Yeah, okay. So, everybody, I sent out a copy of the official strategic plan. Hopefully everybody had the opportunity to read it, or at least look over it. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I am just going to recap everything that's in it. All right, so we do have a student that is finishing up designing the cover page, so that'll be the first one, and I am finishing crafting my method for the strategic plan. All right, and then there's data with information regarding the school and its most notable accomplishments, our mission, our vision, our goals, our statistics that were pulled from the Department of Education website, and then a SWOT analysis, which is the information that was obtained through our town hall meeting, focus groups with students, the surveys that were filled out. So that's where all that information came from in the SWOT analysis. And then what we did is we broke into three strategic areas. So we had a committee comprised of all stakeholders that chose which area they wanted to focus their attention to. So with that said, we had the strategic area number one, nurturing the whole child. And that group came back with three goals with some strategies to support those goals. Goal one being providing students with the life skills that help them to build coping skills and support overall well-being. All right, I'm not going to read the strategies. Goal two, each student will participate in a personalized learning plan that will include goal setting and reflection throughout the year to culminate with a student-led conference on growth and conclusions at the end of each academic year, and the strategies talk about how we will phase that program in and how we will train staff and promote the program. Goal three, the school will develop and offer more academic choices to students for course selection. And that included in offering more courses in liberal arts, increasing the world language choices, and redefining the career pathways in the high school. Along with strategic area number one, I have a chart which shows what the goal is and what corresponds to each goal, or the baseline metrics of to where we are now, and then how frequently and through what means we are going to measure our progress. And that everybody should have had time to take a look at that for Strategic Area 1. Strategic Area 2 focused on the commitment to professional excellence, and again, that group came back with three goals. Goal 1, to establish a personalized professional growth plan for every faculty/staff member that contains goals and activities intended to support staff performance and student engagement/achievement. Goal 2, institute a framework of professional standards and attitudes for all faculty and staff grounded in the 3 R's in alignment with the Sussex Academy strategic plan. And goal 3, increase and establish a culture of collaboration within and across all grade levels and content areas, middle school up to high school.